that Paul wrote to the capital city church in Rome. And the last chapter, 16, is, I think, full of surprises. Let's read together what he wrote so long ago. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla, Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ Jesus before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Perses, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegion, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, his sister, and Olympus, of all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned, and keep away from them. For such people are not serving the Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk, flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but has now been revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Oh, the microphone works. You could hear me in the back. I can hear myself in the back. I was pastor of Bethel before it was Bethel, when it was still the Aldershot Christian Reformed Church, and I served from 1970 to 1973. And for those of you who were there last night, I just want you to hear clearly that I learned a lot in my first congregation. I was half an hour early this morning. I now wear shoes without laces, and they don't need to be polished. That said, you may have been wondering about my text this morning, because that is a typo in your bulletin. It is not 16 verse 7, but Romans 1 verse 7. I'll read that with you. Paul writes to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear people of God, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, of what earthly good are long lists of names? Romans 16. I heard somebody say before the service, that was one of the weirdest 50th anniversary scripture readings I've ever heard. What earthly good are long lists of, let's face it, mainly unpronounceable names? What meaning do they hold? Why celebrate that? Those are very good, very valid, very relevant questions when you read a chapter like Romans 16 on a morning like this. I mean, get a load of some of them. Epinetus, Ampliatus, Trophimus, Persis, sounds like a dishwashing detergent. Phlegon, like somebody clearing their throat. Patrobas, to name just a few. Certainly wouldn't want to name one of our children by those names. Why choose that? Why have that as a reading on a day like today? Well, you know, I am equally sure that the people of first century Rome would do a double take if they read what I read again last week, when I dug out an old 1973 directory of the Christian Reformed Church in Waterdown. There would have been a lot of Roman head scratching if they would try to pronounce the names listed, like Van der Kruk or Schrechardus or Ticholar, to mention just a few. They would have had a very hard time pronouncing that. But here's the kicker. They would have rejoiced in them. Rejoiced greatly. The people of Rome, more than almost 2,000 years ago, would have congratulated you today. From the ancient church to today's Bethel, Waterdown. From unpronounceable names to unpronounceable names. Or rather, from grace to grace. Let's start at the beginning. Our text where Paul addresses the church, all who are in Rome, with the words, beloved of God, called to be saints. Paul is writing to the church, but how does he do that? Well, he doesn't do it in the abstract. For Paul sees, as it were, in front of him, people, real people. People that he knows very well, that he knows not so well, and some of whom he doesn't know at all. But real people, people loved by God, called to be saints. people like Prisca and Aquila, Jews, leather workers by trade, who risked everything in their life for the sake of the gospel. A man like Epaphras, first convert, first believer in Christ in Asia. Some other people who had been in jail with him, like Andronicus and Junius. A lot of people in this list with slave names, quite a few. Quite a few people also with Jewish names. Many women. Some people in the imperial palace in Rome. A long list of real people with whom Paul has had contact throughout his mission journeys. People who could tell others about this man Paul who sent them this letter. This man of God. And he greets all who are gathered in the house churches, all the saints. By the way, it is striking that John Calvin later observed of this chapter, chapter 16, it deserves mention, Calvin writes, that there is not one glittering or famous name among them. All those mentioned by Paul were little people, unknown in Rome. I guess Abram Kuyper in our tradition would have called them kleine Leute. But real people, people, again, loved by God, called to be saints. And today, on our 50th anniversary, as church, as congregation in Waterdown, this letter comes to us. Real people, also loved by God, also called to be saints. And when I read that old directory, I could again picture so many of you from 50 years ago. Elders and deacons like Harry Vortman and Ralph Voss. Children that were in catechism classes like Simon, Linda, and John. Way, way too many names to begin listing. Organists and custodians like Ari Verdun and the Vortenhouts. Members of the evangelism committee like Henk Seibring and Drew Schaafsma. Real people visited in the hospital like, I guess you'd call her old Mrs. Slachter, Abby van Dijk. I remembered sad losses like little Debbie Schrichardis. Real people in sadness and in joy. People celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, people mourning losses, real people. As I look around today, and as I looked around last night, I could see a number of people who Paul might have called my fellow servants, who labored alongside of him in a gospel, like the Posthumuses, the Adamus, the Schuringus, the Hoitemus. All with their own unique and singular contributions to the Church of Christ here in Waterdown. So, I better stop there because some of you undoubtedly are beginning to ask yourself the question, what is this then? Are we sentimentally celebrating people on this day? I'm glad you asked that. For we, of course, really know much better than that, as did Paul. When we celebrate people or nice memories, we always, always miss the boat. For people, people are really weak material to build on, and even feebler excuses to celebrate. Only read Paul's epistles. When he mentions folks in churches that were not so nice, that in fact needed to be warned against. You could even start with Romans 16, where, as we read, Paul warns against those who have caused divisions and offenses, those who teach things contrary to sound doctrine. People are fallible. Church members and church leaders both fallible. It was true in Paul's days. It was true throughout church history. And today it is also true. Put no confidence in princes, nor for help on men depend. Why then lists of people? Why indeed? Here's the reason. So that you and I might return praise and thanksgiving to our great and gracious God. For he loved and still loves sinners, even us, even me. Please note the words of our text. People called to be saints. Paul didn't write, he did not write, people loved by God because they are saints, because they're so good and worthy and embraceable. No, people loved by God in spite of ourselves. People loved by God while we were yet sinners. People loved by God because of his amazing grace. Sinners Christ came and died for. Real people. Now called to be saints. Saints who glory and boast not in themselves, but in him who in his marvelous love called them out to be his ecclesia, his called out ones, his church, his people, his new creation in Christ Jesus, temples of his Holy Spirit. People who live to return glory, not to themselves, but to him. Driven by the Holy Spirit, people who say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. People who may hear every day again, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Real people with real names, real addresses, like the Bethel Church on 606 Dundas Street, East in Waterdown. People who gather to worship together, called out to be a community of saints. People who celebrate God's goodness in spite of themselves. And who today are privileged to celebrate half a century of that great goodness. 50 years. It's but a drop in the vast ocean of time, spanning creation to recreation. A tiny group among the multitude, the Bible tells us, that no one can number. With many names that are foreign and strange to the ear, unpronounceable, but real people. Your and my brothers and sisters, loved by God, called to be saints. Today, we celebrate God's goodness to his real people at Bethel Waterdown. Remembering, he who loved us loves us still, and his call is steady. Continue to be light and salt. Be my saints. Be channels of my love. And when you and I say, yes, Lord, but we are but frail, imperfect people, in a large and often difficult world, he replies, my grace will continue to enable you, and my peace will surround you. And like that first church in Rome, you may rejoice with all the saints and enter the next 50 years with confidence. You hear the voice of your Lord saying, only follow me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we rejoice to hear your call. And we are amazed at your love and grace, calling imperfect people to be not only your followers, but dare we say it, to be your body in this world. Lord, continue to equip us so that together with all the saints, we may magnify your name and return praise to you always. Amen.